This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello there.
Hello, Devin. All right. Devin, I know it's been a couple weeks. We've been all over the place. We've been busy. It's summertime. We're back. What do you got for us? What do you got for us tonight?
We'll try to do this all in one go. Here we go.
All right.
I come from under the hill and under the hills and over the hills my paths have led. And through the air, I am he that walks unseen. I am clue finder, the web cutter, the stinging fly. I was chosen for the luckiest number. I am he that buries his friends alive and drowns them and draws them again alive from the water. I came from the end of a bag, but no bag went over me. I am the friend of bears and the guests of eagles. I am ring winner and luck wearer. I am barrel rider.
Nice.
Oh, almost made it all the way through.
Barrel rider. Web cutter.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The Lord of the Rings, Bilbo Baggins quote, or Frodo Baggins, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's Bilbo. It's the Hobbit.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, it's Bilbo. That's right. Yeah, because he's the barrel rider.
He's the barrel rider.
What a good series. What a good book. What a good everything about that.
Yeah, I started listening to it on the way to camping.
Oh,
speaking
right
of where we've been, and Maeve enjoyed it, but didn't really understand, but she kept asking for it to be turned back on, you know, if we were doing something else.
Yeah.
So I think she just liked the reading.
Right. Yeah.
To her. It is a simple book, but it's not simple enough for a 4-year-old, you know?
Like, right.
Yeah. Like 7 is like when you can really enjoy it and maybe get the humor. And there are a lot of like, you know, it's a British person from the whatever 30s right. telling it, you know, it's so it's.
The language is a little bit different.
But it's such a great book. I haven't read it in a long time, and it was actually done on. You can get it on Spotify, read by Andy Serkis, and he's really good, actually.
Nice.
I wasn't sure when it first started because right away I just think of Andy Serkis and Gollum, and I was like, I guess, but he actually did a really good job on all the characters' voices, and I really enjoyed it.
Nice. Yeah, when Corinne was little, I don't know how old. I mean, I started reading, like I read The Fellowship of the Ring to her. Hmm. And then we started The Two Towers and never finished it. But I think by that point she had seen the movies, or maybe not, I can't remember. But like she saw the movies a little early, probably a little early for, you know, most kids. But she handled it fine. Like she's never really been affected by, like action and stuff, you know. I did show her, Jurassic Park 2 a little early. There's like a scene where there's like a beginning of the movie, they're on a runway and the guy's like running. He's like in the middle of the runway trying to stop the plane from taking off without him. And this big, like, whatever that, maybe that's Jurassic Park 3 or whatever.
Mm.
The, that T-Rex thing, it's not really a T-Rex, but it's like a big, like, version of a, you know, T-Rex mm-hmm. type thing. Mm-hmm. He runs across the road and like, chomps the guy as he's running by. And that scared Corinne, so. So maybe she was, I mean, I don't know how old she was then. She might have been, like, 8 or 9 or something, you know, maybe 7 or 8. But she was a little freaked out by it. But like, she was never, I think it was around that same time that we had shown her the, like, Lord of the Rings movies and stuff. And because there's, like, action and adventure, and it's more, like, sword fighting and stuff like that, you know, there's a, she was never affected by it, at least, like, you know, by the
yeah
like more scary stuff.
Yeah, I showed Lord of the Rings to Maeve already, just because it was one day we didn't have anything to do. Nice. And I was like, you know, reading her, it's definitely got scary bits for kids, but she enjoyed it. I think I told you she, like, reacted to the, when Aragorn chops the head off of the big guy.
Yeah, yeah.
She was like, woo! Like, she, like, hooped and hollered, like, she knew he had it coming.
Nice, that's awesome. Yeah, but, it was the appropriate response.
Yeah, celebratory, nice. Like, oh, we thought Aragorn was going to die, and no, it doesn't look like it. But yeah, it's, anyway, so, you know, she only listened to some of it, and then I finished it on my own, because I was into it, and I was like, I'm just, you know, doesn't matter. So, when she gets a little bit older, I actually just bought a new copy of it, because I have a little paperback one.
Right.
I was like, I want a nice one to put up on the bookshelf. So I bought a nice hardcover. Nice. Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, I like, it's been a while since I've read The Hobbit. But like I said, I think I read it to Corinne when she was younger as well. Mm. But how do you think like it compares to, since you just like listened to it, you know, compares to the movie trilogy that they put out for The Hobbit?
I don't like the movie trilogy, so I think it's much, I enjoy the Hobbit book, and I don't even know if I watched the last one, the third one.
Right, the Battle of the Five Armies.
Because, like, and I tried to rewatch one, like, a few days ago, actually, just because I was, like, you know, comparing it fresh in my mind. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. It just doesn't, I don't know. It just doesn't have it. It's just kind of doesn't work.
Yeah.
There's too much CG, like...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, I like the development of the characters and stuff and the new world it's building, but it's not like, it's just not the, I don't know, I feel like the original trilogy was so true to the books. Like, they didn't add extra. They obviously did take some stuff away because, you know, they couldn't put everything in, but they didn't add extra. There are a few spots where it was like they did a few things a little different that I didn't think they needed to, but otherwise they did such a good job. And and The Hobbit was like almost like it should have just been, well, yeah, I mean, they just did put more stuff in and that was in the book. And then, you know, being like the first one being so true to the book, you know, it's like they should have written this movie trilogy as like The Hobbit and then the extra stuff, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how you word that. Like, how do you just build a new, you know, content inside the universe of
Earth? I don't, you know, I know, what's the guy? The guy who did Pan's Labyrinth.
Guillermo del Toro.
He was originally going to do it and had a lot of the pre-production done, and then kind of last minute switched back over to Peter Jackson. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that affected a little bit, like he didn't have his hand in it as much, but you know, he did do three of them, so he has time to make them better, and they just kind of weren't great. I don't know, just a lot of CG and a lot, you know, it's just, you know,
yeah,
you're in New Zealand, you're making New Zealand, you have the best backdrops, and you have, you know, you did your other movies like that, use real places.
Yeah,
right. You got the money. You had all the money in the world to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's,
yeah, I agree. It was, like, fun, but it was a little, it's disappointing. Like, you know, it's, like, it was kind of a, like, a letdown when you're expecting something. And, you know, I mean, I feel like they could have done the book justice in, like, two movies. You know, if they really wanted to expand it to, like, make it, like, full, you know, a little fuller.
I will say, having read it, there is a lot. I know it's a shorter book compared to the other ones, but they do pack a lot of, like, sequences.
Yeah, right.
In
right.
it. So there are a lot of things that would need to be filmed and shot. Right. But, you know, now all these things, I feel like they should make them all into TV shows nowadays.
Right.
Like The Hobbit as a limited series, you know? Yeah. Like, then you could... All right, give me 8 hours of The Hobbit.
Right, yeah.
You know, but don't give me 8 hours of movies of The Hobbit. Give me...
Yeah, 45 minute episodes or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, right. Like, that would be cool. And just, you know, but who knows? I think... I don't know. I think things are going to be a lot different now, too, with AI stuff. You know, you see on Instagram all the time now, all those, like, quickly generated things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we've been talking about. It's like nuts. Like, well. So I think we will actually get some great movies coming up because it'll be so easy to make them.
Right.
And they will look so good. So, right. And then who knows what from there, but.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. And I also think you'll get some like pushback from directors who want to not use AI.
Mm.
So they'll be like, everything is so easy to make CG, you know, using AI now.
Mm-hmm.
That like maybe then you'll get more directors like the dude who did what it was like 1914 or something. Is that the one with the World War One where it's mm-hmm. all like one mm-hmm. shot, you know, things like that where it's like really putting a lot of production value into it and like building scenes and sure. doing shots,
yeah,
and, you know. although you could make that movie with AI too, like you know, pretty good,
right? I feel like we're gonna have a movie that is so good that it will just like. It won't be like, oh, this feels weird, this feels creepy. It'll just be one of the best movies we've ever seen. It'll be, like, heavily assisted by
right.
AI, you know?
Right.
Or some fan will make one, a full-length one, you know? They'll be, yeah. like, one of the first ones, and it'll be so good, you know? Just be like, well, that's that. That's it.
Yeah, how do you feel about that? Like, you know, knowing... You know, as your background in film and, yeah. you know, movie production, like, how would you feel? Like, watching a movie, you know it's all AI, but it looks so good and it feels so real. Like, are you okay with that? Or are you still, like, I don't know.
I think I probably won't be okay with it until it's just so entertaining that it...
Right.
It beats that, right?
Yeah,
right. Or maybe you take a book that we already love, like The Hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
Or something, and you do such a better version. Like, yeah, the traditional way sucked on The Hobbit, you know?
Right,
like, too much crappy CG, all these, like, green screen backgrounds that no one likes.
Right.
Some of the actors were weird, you know? It's just... So maybe you take something like that, like, hey, yeah, the movie did not do the book justice.
Mm. And then
someone comes along and either does half and half or, you know, use some real actors, but then all the creatures.
Right.
Because imagine all those creatures now. They yeah. could look so much better. And you could place them in perfect locations that look photorealistic. So
right.
It's a shame that, you know, all the artistry of... prop makers and set makers and all those things right. building these real actual worlds, but
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's and even like now in the business, there's how many like prop studios around the world that are really well, like, you know, that do really well, like mm-hmm. ILM and mm-hmm. You know, and Weta and stuff like that. Like, there's a few of them. There's not, I mean, maybe there's probably a lot more small ones than obviously we know about, but mm-hmm. You know, I think they, because it's like the big houses will stay in business because they've learned how to do it really well and people trust them and they have the clout to stay in business and people will still
right.
use
their this, stuff. But, I feel yeah. like this generation of people are so used to it. It mm-hmm. is our grandchildren that will not care right. and will just love whatever is there in its new right. form. We will be like, yeah, there's no, you know, no real sets, no this, no that, but it looks yeah. like we won't be able to tell until right. someone tells us.
I wonder if it's almost like the way how the new Batman movies are, you know, like Batman Return or Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, where the director saw the potential to do those movies justice as if they were happening in the real world mm-hmm. as opposed to a comic world. Right? Right. So then you have like, oh, this is so cool because it's like, it's more like what you think that maybe they would be if it was happening in a real world, but no one mm-hmm. was able to really show that before now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like what you were saying about like someone redoing the Hobbit trilogy, but really putting the characters, what they really would look like the way you want to imagine them in the books and in the scenery that you want to imagine, you want to see in the books or in the movies, you know, like, so I wonder if it's that, like, where I kind of felt that way when what's his name? Who did the Batman series, what's the director? I can't think of
it. Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, Christopher Nolan, right. It was like when Batman Begins came out, I was like, oh, that's so cool. You know, it was like,
Yeah.
What a cool way to show this, like, this comic book world, but make it like a real world, you know? Yeah. Like,
and that is a, you know, great movie.
Yeah.
A lot of big set pieces, you know, a lot of amazing scenes, a lot of amazing things shot and captured in the moment.
And made it.
And that's what makes it great. That's why it's one of the best. And all these other Marvel movies will just disappear.
Right. Yeah.
In 5 years.
Right.
Because the CG will age poorly. I mean, it didn't even look that good in the beginning, but you let it go because it's already a superhero movie. So it's like, whatever.
Right.
Everything. We know it's supposed to be fake.
Yeah.
But a movie like that first Batman.
Yeah.
That will stay because it was actually done. So maybe, you know, we'll see about the CG. But again, yeah. I think it'll be so good that we just won't be able to, you know.
Right.
Yeah. It'll be like people who only like the written word and then you started doing video and film. You know, and then there was a great, you know, movies in the 50s. And they're like, okay, I never thought movies could be as entertaining as books.
Right, yeah.
But they finally have made these great moving pictures.
Right, that you can actually, like, I think the, you know, it took you out of your everyday life and put you into a believable scenario that you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once that happened, you're like, oh, I'm actually seeing it, and I can get into it the same way I can get into a book, where your mind's in it, you know, your imagination is, like, hooked in. You know, once they can do that with movies, it's like,
yeah, but it's
pretty cool.
You know, I think everything will be replaced by AI. We will fight it a little bit because we're not used to it, but our grandkids won't care. Yeah, they won't. Right. It'll just, you know, they'll be used to it.
Yeah.
But
well, since we're kind of on the subject of it, I'll talk about my recommendation this week, which is Fallout, which I've been watching on.
You finally watched it?
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Yeah, I watched it today. Like all episodes, binged them.
All actually, of them?
I started. Yeah. I think it's eight total for the first season. I started last night, actually. I watched the first episode last night. And
fell
then,
asleep halfway through?
Well, no, I actually fell asleep halfway through the second episode. Uh-huh. But I was like, Nicole was watching, what was it? She was watching Almost Human or something, or Becoming Human, which is like with, I forget the actor's name, but he's like, he's an alien in a, you know, in a rural American town, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Nicole was watching that downstairs, so I like just went upstairs and I had my phone and I was watching. Like I said, I watched the first episode, then I fell asleep halfway through the second episode, so I started watching this morning. And
you watched Fallout on your phone?
I did, yeah. The first episode. And I watched insane. On the TV today. but yeah, no, it was really good. It was awesome.
Yeah, and
it's like series, and that again, you know, it's like that's where they took something that has, you know, like a lot of meat to it and turn it into a series.
Yeah, and they, you know, they really did that. I feel like they did the video game justice. It wasn't super serious.
Right.
There was a lot of, you know, they went. That was a the little behind the scenes that I've seen is they went to a lot of real places.
Yeah.
Lot of like the turbo suits or whatever, I forget what they're called, but you know what I mean? Yeah, the main Fallout
T1s
suits.
Or whatever, yeah.
T-85 or whatever. You know, the like armor. They actually had people. Actually, they had a...
Yeah.
They had one of those guys with jetpacks on his arms.
Yeah, I saw that.
Flying around. I was like, that's awesome. Because it did look really good. I remember watching it and being like, this looks awesome. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it looked like a little clumsy and, like, you know, not perfect. Great. Like, it was really, like, trying to hold the weight of the suit up and all. Like,
it was very cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. Yeah, I really liked it. And I like that, you know, anytime they can build a bunch of characters that all have, you know, that aren't pure good or pure evil, you know, it's like, everyone is just like living, you know, and everyone's like just someone who's got their own, you know, things that they're trying to make happen or trying to do or trying, like, and I love that about like all the characters in the show. And like, obviously like the main character, Lucy, and the guy, the play was his, Maximus.
He was in the Brotherhood.
Yeah. Right. And so like, he's, you know, he's like a good guy, but he's also in the Brotherhood, which he thinks is good. And, you know, but the Brotherhood's not great, you know? And then like Lucy she's like almost all good, you know, but she's naive and she's from a place that's bad, you know, for other people, you know,
it's That was the fun side of the games, because, right, you could pick a side, but no one was, you know, that great.
Mm-hmm.
I remember doing the Brotherhood thing, because you could get suits, and that was cool.
Oh, yeah, right.
And they'd, like, fly you around places. And you could call in those planes for help.
Yeah, right.
So you'd be fighting, like, a base, and then you would just make a call, and, like, one of those would come through, you know, with, like, a couple guys in suits, like, yeah. I loved, what's his name's, cameo, Portlandia.
The guy from Portlandia, yeah.
He's on the radio, like, watchtower hipster guy. Radio guy.
Yeah.
You hear those, like, mids? The
all the bass and the treble.
I think so.
The mids. He's like, yeah, I can see him. He's like, no, you don't see him, you hear him. No, yeah, I can hear him.
Right. Oh, so good.
Yeah, it was a perfect cameo. Mm-hmm. He's a radio tower operator. They don't make it like they used to. Yeah, no, it's really fun, and I had a good time watching it today. And I think I was like, I was watching it for, I actually got up early this morning because Nicole was going to work, so I usually get up with her and make coffee and stuff before she leaves. So I got up about 6:30 and started watching, you know, shortly after that. And then Corinne came down at, you know, whatever, episode 5 or whatever, and watched the last couple with me. But she had already watched it. She was like, oh, nice. I love it. It's so good. So now she's actually downstairs playing it again. She started over.
Yeah,
she's like, I'll start over. Fallout 4. Yeah,
4.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
But, yeah, the show's great.
Yeah.
And I love how they slowly develop the backstory of the different characters. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think that's fun, too, because it helps to build your perception of the different people and who and what they are over time and not all at once. You know, it's like, and I like that, you know, and I didn't feel like it was too spread out. Like, sometimes I feel like those things are too spread out. There's like too many characters you're trying to learn about, but
yeah,
it was good. Yeah. I love like the ghoul, like his backstory and going back and figuring out like how he's connected with everything and all. It's
yeah. It's good wild stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so nerd segment's over.
Is it really?
Hobbit and Fallout and
Fallout TV shows. AI.
So we did go outside and do something while we were gone. I know we just remembered that. Oh, we haven't done this like pod for almost 3 weeks. So
yeah,
we'll be back to semi-normal. You know,
yeah.
Went camping. Not too much to report. We had a good time. The lake did close after the second day, so that was a bummer.
Right. Yeah.
But we all had fun, and there was a river nearby we swam in, and
yeah, that was really nice. Yeah, when we got there to the campground, we went to Cowan's Gap, which is in Pennsylvania, kind of middle toward the west side of Pennsylvania. We found a little stream. There was this kind of nice little stream back behind our campsite, so it's just like a 2 or 3 minute walk around the corner to the stream. So it wasn't like, you know, it's just kind of a narrow stream and maybe a foot and a half deep at the deepest spots, but it's nice to be able to sit down because it was hot.
Mm-hmm.
It was hot, and yeah, they did have the beach open for a couple of days, which was nice. But yeah, no, it was great. I really liked that campground. I thought it was really good. The beach was great, you know, like obviously it was open the whole time. They have a really good concession stand.
And, I know. I would definitely go back if they, maybe in a couple years, you know, if we like get a couple summers where it's like not being closed every 5 days.
Yeah. And they have that nice big group campsite, which I think would be cool too. Like, I think we could do that, which would be pretty cool. You know, it would be, if we do a group campsite like that with the all the families and stuff, we'd have to maybe organize dinners and stuff a little bit differently, you know, doing more communal, because it's more like that, you know, you kind of, which we could do, you know, it would just be like, okay, you know, on whatever Monday night, you guys will do dinner, Tuesday night, you know, everybody else does. Yeah. We just do breakfasts and lunches on our own, but then you just have like a dinner, you know, do it that way if people would be down for it. But I like that. And that was a cool one because it had its own like area. You kind of go back this dirt road back, what, like 100 yards or something back into the woods, and then there's this whole like area, this glade with trees and stuff that's all open, and they have their own bathhouse. And
we'll see. The only negative thing is, though, it sucks that there's the road there, but since like there was like not very many cars, the kids did play a lot on that road right between the sites.
Right.
Like, you know, constantly biking and scooting where we could see them was actually kind of nice.
Yeah, that is the one thing that doesn't have. It's like not doesn't have that paved area.
Right, you know? Right.
And the kids all do like biking, so that would be a downfall.
It would definitely maybe like I said, in a few years if we decide to go back, they're a little bit older. Some of the kids can golf by themselves.
Right. Yeah.
Then it doesn't matter. It's like, yeah, go bike, go anywhere.
Right, exactly. They ride down the road and they're going. Yeah.
But it's kind of nice to have a... Yeah, there's disadvantages and advantages of all the areas.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think we've, like, you know, the way we've set it up over the last couple years, having, like, multiple campsites on either side of the road across from each other. So so it ends up becoming kind of like a communal space anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a few sites, and then you kind of take over the space. So it's like the road and the sites are all part of the big group campsite. So, and that is nice. You know, the kids just ride back and forth. And we had, you know, your daughter and then Drew's son as well. So we had, you know, we had all the nieces and nephews were there. And then also our friends came and brought their daughters. So, you know, they had a good time. And Charles and Carrie's little crazy daughter going down that steep hill on her little scooter thing, like flying. Oh, my gosh. The girl's crazy. She's like 4 years old and going like top speed down this hill. One leg out in the air, the other one like holding the one.
I know.
All wearing helmets though. It was good. No big crashes. No one got too hurt. You know?
Well, there's definitely some crashes, but
yeah, I know. But I've seen nothing crazy.
No, like, yeah, just a lot of scraped knees and hands. But that's that's a part of it. They all, I mean, I was really happy. You know, Maeve once again really loved it and. You know, didn't want to leave and never, like, complained about being there. It's never like, can we go home? You know, anything like that. I mean, she's also maybe too little to... She's at that good age where they kind of accept wherever they're at.
Right, yeah.
This is what we're doing now. Like, we live here for how long? Like, okay, we're in this tent. Cool. This tent is cool. I love the, you know, and she was actually really... Really good with sleeping by herself. And like,
yeah, she did great.
Not once complained about that. I'd take her over, you know. I let her stay up later this year.
Mm-hmm.
Took her over and, you know, put her in bed. Told her a couple stories. And then she was like, all right, good night. You know, I left a little, you know, a little night light on for her. And then she had the fan. So I think that's nice, too.
Yeah.
You know, just sitting there listening, even though that's nice when you're a kid, but also, you know, you're hearing other people talk and doing things, and maybe you want to get back out.
Right, exactly. It's just your brain nice settle in to sleep.
Fans on. She has, like, her little soft glowing light, and she would pass out quick every day.
Yeah, that was great. She's a little trooper. Yeah. Such a sweetie. And it's great because she's, you know, she's friendly with everyone, you know, she's lovely with everyone, which is kind of like what Corinne used to be. And I always love that about it. You know, like love that she was affectionate, you know, so, and Maeve's that way. It was, there were like several times where Maeve would like say something or do something. And Corinne and I would be like, oh my gosh, you're like so cute. What a cutie little thing. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. It was super fun. And like, I think when we went up on Sunday and then left on Friday. So we stayed for, you know, 5 nights or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
Which was good. You know, in the past we've done, you know, a full week, or sometimes we do 2 weeks occasionally, or 10 days or whatever. But, you know, trying to organize everybody, you know, now is a little bit harder. Because in the past, it was like, you know, just us, our four brothers, you know, the four of us and our mom, and then Eileen.
Right, it was two families.
Two families, right, yeah.
And now, it's
one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Yeah, right, exactly. Potentially, like, yeah, and getting everyone together and all, you know, dates in where everyone can take off and stuff. So, but it was cool. It was fun to go, and you know, we were all able to go, all the brothers, and we brought our kids, which was awesome to have us all there. And all of our wives stayed home with either the other kids or working or what kids or dogs or, you know, which obviously, you know, we would love to have our wives there, but you know, it's also, it was, you know, I think like, Carrie's mom, our friend Carrie was there with her girls and their, her mom was there also, and she was impressed that we were all there as fathers with our kids without our wives, you know, like, and little kids too, not like me, you know, me with Corinne. It's like, whatever, Corinne's 15, like, she's basically doing her own thing, and she's also helping make dinner and lunches and helping watch kids, and, you know, like, she's nearly an adult, but
I love
you guys, the little kids.
Love the low expectations of the old school parents.
I know, right?
Look at you feeding them. Keep them alive.
I know. You're here all by yourself. Your wife's not here. Just you guys and your kids.
You can do the things. You know,
it was, she was impressed, but she was also impressed with, like, the fact that we all got along, too, the whole time, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, you're all here, your whole family, all your brothers, and you all get along, like... That's great. And you're all here with your kids? Like, man. And she's fun because she's like, she was actually really good. You know, like, occasionally.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Carrie's mom can be a little,
I'm not saying anything. I'm not talking about
no,
anybody.
She's great, but I'm just saying, like, she can be a little bit, what's the word? She's like quick to be in a bad mood, I guess, right? She's like, oh, you know, like, or like, I don't know. And she's a little critical sometimes of things and people. So, but no, I thought she was great. Like, she was also very, like, easygoing most of the time, you know, and Carrie would be like, oh, can you do this? Or like, what do you want for dinner? She's like, I'm fine, whatever you got, you know, like, and she was happy to, like, obviously watch her granddaughters and stuff. And she was great. And I shared a site with her. So it was fun to give her a little crap sometimes where she would, like, she'd get a little negative about something and I'd just give her some crap about it and she'd laugh it off, you know? So it's like, you could tell that it was not that serious, but it's just like, you know, it was, I think being around all that positivity is obviously always good. So,
yeah,
but no, yeah, it was great to have her there. And she also, you know, got along pretty well with Eileen, which is Annette's mom. So it's like, Eileen's a little bit older and Carrie's mom's older. And then our parents are older. So they had kind of that, like, you know, obviously there's that, that age gap between us and our parents, but it was nice to have the different, variety of people there and the kids and the parents and,
but yeah, this year we'll probably take over planning, or at least getting dates together,
right? Yeah,
finding a place because we have all the children now. We need the
power.
The older folks can just come along. Just
right.
You don't have to plan stuff anymore. We'll take care of it.
All right.
You know.
Yeah.
At least that part.
Right. Yeah. But it was good, and it would have been fun to do a podcast like there when we were live. We thought about it, but I don't know. You just get in the moment, and we're all just hanging out, doing our own thing, and it was cool.
Yeah.
It was a good time. One of these years, that would be fun to record, like, sitting around the fire, you know, hanging out, which obviously it's not too dissimilar from just, like, us doing, like, the Four Brothers podcast or, like, a group podcast like that, you know, with a couple people. So that would be cool. Speaking of missing podcasts, I'll actually be out of town next Thursday as well. Okay. So we're going to Lake George. So I'm leaving Wednesday night or Wednesday morning. And we'll be up Lake George, New York for a long weekend. So I will be gone. But
maybe we can do Tuesday or something.
Yeah, we could think about that. But yeah, I have Governor's Cup tomorrow.
Yeah.
So those of you who are longtime listeners of the podcast or even, you know, viewers of the channel and new podcast listeners, you'll know that we've done stuff with sailing before. And so the Governor's Cup is a 72-mile race that starts just outside of Annapolis on the Chesapeake Bay. And then we race down the bay and up and into the Potomac and into the St. Mary's River near St. Mary's College. It's an overnight race. We start at just shortly after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then we'll race all night long and finish usually sometimes mid-morning. This year it's looking like we're going to probably finish shortly after midnight, maybe, you know, between midnight and like 1 or 2 in the morning, because we have a average of, I would say, like 12 to 18 knot north wind, meaning we're going to have a downwind run the whole way all night long, and just like good wind. Beautiful weather. It's supposed to drop down because it's really hot today and stormed here in Maryland, but it's supposed to drop down tomorrow morning. It's going to be in the 60s. It'll be in the high 60s, low 70s throughout the day, and then drop down to about 65 or so tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So I'll be on the water.
See, that would be my dream race to be involved with.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly.
It'll be something that ends before you have to go to bed, because I just cannot sleep in a boat, in a small boat at least, which is anything that's on the water. Any sailing vessel, obviously nowadays, is going to be under 60 feet.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So
it's just too. I just can't. I get a little seasick and I get a little carsick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just really, it's horrible for me to go under it at all.
Right.
Like whenever I've always sailed with you guys, or when I have, I've always stayed up. Yeah. I'll run down to grab something, but if I stay down longer than 1 minute, I'm like, I'm like, I got to get back up. So I can't go down and snooze.
Right.
I just kind of like hang on to the railing and try to, you know, get some sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I have not gotten seasick on a sailboat for a really, really long time. I mean, the last time I did was actually when we were bringing Uncle Jack's boat back from Long Island, and we sailed it out onto the ocean just south of New York City, and then we were kind of in and out a little bit. We were on the ocean for a full day, and it was some big waves, and they were kind of off the like quarter of the boat, so it was like rocking us forward and back and left and right, and so. Yeah. I got sick then, but that was just because it was just like hours and hours and hours of that crazy waves, you know. But I don't know. It doesn't bother me. You know, obviously, I'm not going to go downstairs. Like, I never stay downstairs just for nothing. You know, I won't go down and like, I'm not one to go down and like organize and do a bunch of stuff and hang out and chat downstairs.
Yeah.
You know, like I stay up on deck because the same thing, like, you know, my body is like I said, I sail twice a week all summer long, or all spring, summer, fall long. And I never get seasick when we do night races or, you know, evening races. And I haven't gotten sick on the Gov Cup as long as I can remember, thank goodness. But, it's just one of those things where, like, if I do need to sleep, you know, I'm just going downstairs to sleep, right? So I just go down, I lay on one of the bunks, and I, like, you know, close my eyes, and the boat's rocking, and, you know, so, but when I'm, like, laying down with my eyes closed trying to sleep, that doesn't bother me at all.
Mm.
Like, I could fall asleep in rough weather, and it wouldn't, like, make me sick. But, yeah, if I'm just, like, going down, if I'm hanging out downstairs for, like, you know, I'm not going to go downstairs and hang out for 10 minutes without, you know, being, without coming up. And for one, it's just too hot normally, you know, like down below on a sailboat. But, fortunately that doesn't bother me. Unfortunately, it doesn't bother Corinne, because I know that, like, you know, it could, you know, she's actually never been one to get car sick. Like, very occasionally she would be like reading or something in the back of the car, and she might get a little like, she'd be like, oh, I feel a little bit weird. And we're like, all right, we'll just, you know, look out the window, like take some deep breaths. Don't stop reading or whatever, you know? So, but otherwise she's always been good about it. And so far, you know, knock on wood again, so far she hasn't gotten seasick at all with us in all the years she's been sailing. She's been sailing with us, I think, for 4 years now on Gunn for evening races, and then this will be her second Governor's Cup.
Nice. Yeah, we got to start your own race.
Yeah.
Then 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. You do the 12-hour race.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A day race. Well, you know, they have those. There's a bunch of races like that around the bay. And actually, the one that we did when we did Boomerang, that was kind of cool, you know, because that one, it started in the afternoon, and it raced into the night, but, like, it finished in Annapolis, you know, and it wasn't as long as Gov Cup.
So yeah, that one, bad.
That was kind of good. And they were, like, quick, you know, quicker legs, you know.
Yeah. I also suggested the bar crawl weekend, the bar sale weekend.
Oh, yeah, right on. Yeah, it'd be cool.
We were talking about that, going to some of those, you know, because there are a bunch that a lot of boats will come up to and visit.
Yeah.
Like, you could visit a place, you know, on the bay somewhere, you know, take 4 hour sail across to wherever.
Yep.
Maybe Grant's going to sleep.
Hello, Grant. Yeah.
You know, stay somewhere and then the next day sail maybe a little bit farther. Like, you know, the next day is for like a long sail.
Right. Yeah.
And then
yeah,
stay somewhere and then, yeah. You know, just have like two nights. That'd be fun. Yeah. And you feel like you did like a little, do a triangle around the bay, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be cool. We could sail like from, you know, from where we are on the western shore, just outside of the harbor, you know, maybe across to the eastern shore. Like there's the Rock Hall area, and they have bars and stuff all on the water. So we can like sail over to Rock Hall. That's just on the eastern side, just north of the Bay Bridge, and then you know, and then maybe sail like over to Annapolis or something, you know, and then sail home from Annapolis. Cause like sailing from Annapolis or, you know, motor / sailing is about 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours. So
that'd be real nice.
Yeah. Or like, I don't know, maybe into like the Magathie River or like near, what's it called? Gibson Island. That's like, or, you know, even on the south side of the river going into the harbor where like, Rock Creek and stuff is, that's where we took, I went with my mother and father-in-law, went and got crab stuff there. And those are like more like, I might like that over something like Annapolis, because Annapolis is like a much bigger tourist town, you know?
Right.
But like, Rock Hall and Rock Creek and Tolchester, which is a little bit further north. These are all like little,
yeah, you kind of,
you know, crabbing, working, like, you know,
right. You find a little waterside bar, you know, and like, you know, hang out, and everyone, you know, gets an Airbnb or something.
Yeah. They actually do, in Rock Hall, they do what they call Pirate Weekend. And I can't remember exactly when it is, but it's like sometime in the summer, but there's like, it's all, you know, all the bars and stuff do like in the evening, like a pirate themed evening. There's like, cool. Yeah, there's like big parties that are pirate
like,
parties.
Like
and
we
stuff.
Sail over and then we all dress up, go on shore as pirates.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we could, you know, we could stay there for a night and then go somewhere else or whatever, or even go over there and stay, you know, like stay for 2 days and then come back or whatever. But yeah, that's one of the guys I sail with, Justin, he and his wife, they always do Pirate Weekend. You know, they got all sorts of cool pirate costume and stuff and all. So, and on the Pirate Weekend, the pirate life.
Pirate life for me.
But yeah, but I'm excited, man. It's gonna be an awesome sale.
Will you win this one? Can you win this one, please?
I'm gonna try.
Get that off your list. You guys are always the bridesmaids, never the bride.
I know, man. It's not an easy race to win.
I understand that. And with sailing, it's a lot of luck. So let's get the luck.
Let's get the luck, yeah.
Why don't you bring some things with you, any clovers or horseshoes, bring them along.
Yeah, right.
Do everything you can to get the blessings.
There's right now, when I checked yesterday or whatever it was, there's five boats in our division. So it's not that big. It's not a big division, but the other four boats are technically faster than us. They're rated higher than we are.
Yeah.
So as long as we stay close to them throughout the whole race, which we should, because our boat is definitely it's rated worse than it is, I would say. Most people think, you know, they're like it's a common ish thing that our boat, the S2 9.1, which has a 135 rating, which, if you know about ratings, it's all about the difference between numbers is seconds per mile over a race. So a race that's 72 miles, if a boat had five, you know, or had 1 point better than we did, then they would owe us 72 seconds.
Like a handicap. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So that the 135 rating we have is apparently a really good rating, meaning like it, we probably could be rated lower, meaning faster.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But I think it'll be a good competitive race. Like the boats that we've raced against, there are a couple. I think three out of the four that we're racing against are all ones that we've raced against before, and we have beat them before, and they beat us before. You know, so it's not like out of the question that we couldn't win. It's kind of just like who can sail their boat the fastest and go straight down the bay. And if we stay close to everybody, then. You know, then they'll owe us time at the end, so we could correct over. And,
well, just keep doing this every year until there's no one. You know, there'll be two people in your class, and you come on, you gotta win.
Yeah, right. Yeah, our class keeps getting smaller and smaller.
Right, Next year it'll be only first, second, third place.
Yeah, right. Although we did get we got a new certification for our boat, which is called the ORR Easy rating, which it's a different rating system. It's based off of wind and like weather, and then like sail wind direction and wind speed, you know. So like on a really light wind night, the heavier boats would get a more favorable rating than the lighter boats, right? It would even them out. And then on a heavy wind night, the lighter boats, who can't go as fast in the heavy winds, you know, because they can't control it as well, like then they would get a more favorable rating. So the ratings change somewhat based off of the wind and the wind direction and the wind speed.
Yeah.
Okay. Which makes it a little bit ideally a fairer. So there are divisions that use the ORR rating at the Gov Cup. So it may be a thing where in the near future we might switch over to a different rating group so we can actually just race against more boats. So.
Yeah.
All right.
But either way, you know, it's like we love the race. It's super fun. It's, you know, it's a haul, and it's a long race, and you know, it's one of those things where it's a challenge, but it's a challenge that we love and excited to do it every year. So I'm like, I'm amped up and I'm nervous and I'm excited and, you know, all the things that come before going on a challenging event. So should be good. So hopefully next week when we chat with everybody, or in 2 weeks, I guess, or whatever, if we do win, I'll post it to my Instagram and stuff, and I'll try to actually get some videos. I'm going to try to keep my phone on me so I can get some videos and stuff, and maybe put together some shorts and stuff of the race this year. Nice. So I'll get that up, and then on to Instagram and some shorts on YouTube and whatnot. But if we win, people will know.
Nice.
But yeah.
All right. Well, we're trying to keep it short because you do have to leave early tomorrow. But I was going to say, speaking of shorts, we did put a bunch of shorts out. And, you know, it's amazing. If you just, even if they only each get 1,000, you put out a bunch of them in a week. Right. It's amazing. I guess that's why people do it. Your numbers go way up.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I know. It's, I mean, and I mean, we put, one of the shorts I put out had like, you know, but almost like 7,000 views on it over the first like 2 days, you know, which is pretty good. Like when you get that, like the speed up, and then, and the algorithm sees that as just like views on your channel. Right. I'm assuming. Right. And obviously it probably differentiates between shorts and long form videos, but it's still more views for our channel, which it likes. So, but yeah, we have did some shorts. I was rehanging a bark spud. You know, it's basically just like a big chisel that's designed to scrape bark off of logs and stuff. And so I was shooting some content on that, and I realized it was going to be kind of longer than I could make it fit into one video easily. So instead of trying to make it fit into one short, I just let, you know, let them be longer, and I just kept going until it was all the parts. And, you know, usually when I do parts for, or when I see like part one, part two, however many parts on like an Instagram thing, it annoys me. But that's usually because like you see one and then you can't find like part two, and like, or it's not out right away.
Yeah, for sure.
So I just built them and then put them out as soon as I finished each one. So it's like, make one, put it out, make another one, you know, 3 minutes later, put that next one out, and just did all of them until I got to the end. So that was cool. And then we had the a couple shorts that you put together off of the video, which we put out. Finally, the new workshop video, which the workbench video, which I think is awesome. Like it was something really like natural about like the way we were in the new shop and like talking about shop stuff and ideas. And like there was a little bit more like commentary about that stuff built into the video, which just felt really natural. Like the way you compose shots felt good. The way like walking around the shop felt really good. I really liked the video. I thought it was really well edited. So good job.
Thank you.
And my father-in-law also texted me. He said that he was inspired and was now like planning on building a few benches in his shop and his garage. He was like, "Oh, it's really cool. I really liked your video. It made me want to go back out in the shop." And someone else commented that too on the video. It was like, "Oh, this is great. I definitely want to go out in my shop." Like, that's like the best compliment, you know, when you're like, when you have, you're just making stuff, people are like, "This is awesome. I want to go out and hang out in my shop now and do stuff." Like, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And I did, speaking of shop as well, I did, move a bunch of the, blacksmithing stuff out of the shop. Okay. Got that around to the back behind the shop. And, I just put up a temporary pop-up shelter and like you know, more permanently affixed it into the ground, so it'll stay there in the windy situation, and whatnot, and put the things that can live partially outside that can get wet, which is basically everything that was in the smithy before, because it was all open, just to lean to. So, you know, wind and water and stuff blew in, but
right.
They're undercover, and you know, I feel like it's safe enough now that I've been here for a while. And you know, like at first I was like, well, I don't want to move anything out because I feel like things will just get stolen since we are on a main street. But I think the area behind our yard is pretty private, and you know, you have to be a certain type of person to, for one, see the value of what I have back there, a bunch of rusty metal things. and then if you do know the value of it, to actually haul things away when they weigh, you know, more than 100 pounds. So it's like,
yeah. So your place is one of the ones that is, that I would feel okay with having a ring cam. I make fun of people with ring cams, yeah, but I understand right. If you are on a main street, like,
yeah,
then it makes some sense mm-hmm. to maybe have something around yeah. there.
Right. And Nicole and I talked about like doing that, getting a couple cameras around, one, you know, one aiming back at the shop, one out on the front porch and stuff.
Yeah. You could do like two ring cams. Yeah. One on your front and back door.
Yeah.
Then that one in the back door covers the whole yard.
Right.
And the front covers the whole front.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, but it's been awesome because it was like, because I got the stuff out of that front corner, I can actually now, you know, all the stuff that shouldn't be in the actual shop space is gone now, basically. And now I can go through all those boxes and I'm moving more tables out. And I have a couple, there's one more metal table still in the shop that needs to go into the smithy, but otherwise it's out. So I'm like going through boxes and now I'm like seeing things like all of my, you know, all the PPE stuff, like the goggles and the safety glasses and gloves and aprons and all. So I built the little PPE station all that stuff right. and then hanging stuff up on the wall, and it's starting to really feel like my shop, which is really nice. And it's like, it's, I'm understanding where the setbacks are in the space as well as like what the positives are. Yeah. You know, I like the high ceilings because I can move stuff around really easily, but there's also, you know, I stored a lot of stuff in the rafters of the old shop, you know, right. So I'm like trying to figure out where that stuff goes. And then, you know, with having basically one whole wall of the shop that's somewhat not usable because it's a garage door, and then the main door, that whole wall is like, so it's like I have three walls instead of four walls. So I have to figure out a little bit of how I'll move around in that space, like whether I'm going to put in some type of rolling cabinet-y type thing there that I can put some stuff in and on top of, or shelves, or maybe just the rolling tools live against the front, you know, and they can move. And so,
or like we were talking about before, that second half of the shop you split with by some type of temporary wall,
right?
Then you have two more walls of stuff to hang.
Yeah. And I thought about that too. And where I have the, where I moved the grinder bench over into between the two windows was kind of like, I have some large wood there next to the left of the grinder bench. And so it's like not a ton of space to have another wall there. So, but it might, yeah, I might be able to move it over.
You could split the other half.
Right. Oh, like coming straight out from the wall opposite. From
yes. Like if your garage is cut into corners, quarters.
Right. Right.
And the two front quarters are against the door, the garage door.
Right.
On that one, you know, quarter opposite of your workbench, you put a wall there sticking out.
Gotcha.
And it cuts that side, the opposite side of your workbench, it cuts that in half.
Right. Yeah.
But then you have a whole wall there of, you can hang axes, or idea. You know, you could have all your axes on one side, and you know, whatever stuff you were going to hang up, handsaws, and
even though
it's on the other side of your main work area, but like you could put the whole wall of axes on that temporary wall, you know?
Yeah. I think it's funny because, you know, I really, like, I want it to be a really well done, like finished shop, but I'm also really enjoying the whole process of refiguring out the new shop and like trying to make an efficient use of space. And I want to be like, I want to feel free enough to change things up in the future, like if I need to, but I know that if like whatever I set up now will probably live that way for a long time. And so like, I don't want to, I don't know. Like it's like fun, but also stressful, but more fun. You know, like I love it. I love the setting up, and I love trying to figure it out. And I love trying to figure out like, you know, good infrastructure and what I'm going to build and what I'm going to put and what's a good, like, you know, use of space and the first order of retrieval stuff. And, you know, I love all that. It's fun, but it's also a little stressful, but that's fine. You know, that's like, that's what it should be. And I have this time off because it's summer, so I've been out in my shop a lot, but it's also been a bajillion degrees in Maryland and super humid, so I don't have a...
Gotta get that AC installed.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I got the AC, and I did send an email to Mr. Cool, see if they want to sponsor a video. But if anybody's listening who knows of another mini split company or whatever who'd be willing to sponsor a video, let us know. Give us a call, send us a DM. Send me a DM at The Art of Craftsmanship on Instagram. Or Devin at The Art of Camera Guy.
All right, cool.
Cool, we have your recommendation, because mine was the Fallout.
Mine's actually The Hobbit, but read by Andy Serkis.
All right, nice.
On Spotify, so if you already have Spotify, it's free.
The Hobbit. Cool, right on. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, thanks for hanging out with us. Make sure you check out the new video on YouTube, the new workshop build. I think it's like the thumbnail that won was the new shop vibes. So you'll see it like new, the words new shop vibes on our bench. Got the new bench going, which is really fun. But I think, you know, I'll give Devin a pat on the back. It was really well edited, and the flow was really good. And the, like, I feel like the content was good. It felt really fun and natural to be in that new shop. So check out the new shop. Check out the video. Let us know what you think. And then, you know, head over to Instagram. Check out what we have going on there, because I'm always trying to throw some more, you know, stuff up there that's a little bit shorter. And just everyday stuff, day-to-day stuff. So you can check us out there at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy. And then you can support us further on Patreon at patreon.com/The Art of Craftsmanship. If you want to head over there, and you can become a patron for as little as $1 a month and support what we're doing. Because, you know, we like the support. We like, you know, all that. The support that we do get, the financial support, goes back into the channel and goes back into the shop. And we use that money to try to make better stuff for you guys. So whatever the support is, it's put right back out there. So all those people that do support us, we really, really appreciate it. Thank you all so much for our patrons on Patreon. All right, Dev. Well, that was a good one. And like I said, we'll probably miss next week, but we'll be back the following week. And we're going to look at getting a couple new guests on the podcast. So keep your eyes and ears peeled for that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you guys all so much for listening. And we will talk to you next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.